Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and truck heists. So many truck heists. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I thought this was The Ramp, where we talk about Rube Goldberg machines.
That's a spinoff. Next week.
Okay. All right.
Next week. That's our segment. We'll start it as a segment.
Yeah. And now we have the warp core. And then we have the ramp.
Bad motivator and the ramp. And the yeah. Ramp. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
You have failed this city.
Also, this podcast.
He did it. He did it. He said,
he said the thing.
He said the thing.
He said it.
You're doing a Leonardo DiCaprio meme where you're pointing at the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Try to emulate as much about that guy as I can. That's definitely the way I live my life.
There's a lot of things I'm not going to say.
So. Yeah. Yeah, all he did fix the gun problem. That's true. Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God. Someone needed to. So we are here. We have a little throwback this week. This week marked the series finale of Superman and Lois, which itself marked the last installment of the Arrowverse that was broadcast on the CW. Now, you know, we'll make our usual caveats. Technically, I think it wasn't really part of the Arrowverse continuity, but it was part of the same production and the same. There were shared some actors and stuff like that. I think they kind of went with its own. It went to its own different world. Like, it was not the same world as the rest of the stuff, but like,
it was
still part
out
of
Arrowverse.
Yes, absolutely. So we're counting it for that.
Yeah, and also it's a matter of like that style of production at CW is shutting down, right? Like, that's the end of an era that began with Arrow. I mean, and to
it's
now.
Frankly also almost the end of the era for CW scripted shows. I believe there is one left.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Getting squeezed out. Well, I mean, the tentpole that is Supernatural sort of went away.
That was it. Everything else fell down
it.
After
collapsed.
That.
The tent collapsed.
Yeah, exactly.
But I figured since, you know, we all cut our teeth covering Arrow back in the days of the Speedy Arrow cast, that it would be a good time for us to take a little retrospective in terms of what the significance of the Arrowverse was and what its legacy is. And I'm going to do that thanks to an article from The Hollywood Reporter in which they break down some fun numbers.
Oh, boy.
And now I've tried to decide if I want to make this a quiz.
A statistical podcast?
Oh, God. I tuned in. Well, people tune in for like some superhero stuff, not, you know, XLS files.
All right, here I'm going to throw it out here, though, as a we'll call this a quiz, but it's not really a quiz. But I want to start with, can you tell me how many series based on DC characters aired on the CW beginning with Arrow?
Oh, these are fun numbers. I take it back. Are we competing? Like, we're racing Goldberg
machines? I mean, you can.
Goldberg
I decided
machines?
To yeah, do it. Yeah, I'm kind of doing this. This is all ad hoc. So, but I'd like
no
to hear.
Points, no points are going to be awarded.
Okay, so
no
we got Arrow.
Yes, no points.
Arrow, Flash, Legends.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 10, but I don't know. It's probably that's probably too much.
Oh, man. You know what? Hold on. I have this right here, so I'm going to use it.
Wow. Holy cow.
John nailed it. There were exactly 10.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't get past three.
Can you name them all is the next question. You started there.
Okay, yeah, so Arrow.
You got up to three.
Arrow, Flash, Legends, Constantine.
Nope.
Superman.
No, Constantine was not.
Constantine was on NBC.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, we're going to play this game? Fine.
Yep, we're playing that
game. What do you mean playing that game? It didn't air on the CW.
It's the actual game. Yeah, sorry. That's on me. That's my fault.
We're going to play the game of facts?
My bad.
Rough.
Well, you got me because the same actor's in both of them, right? So they,
yes, true.
And it's
true,
the same character.
It's adjacent.
Anyway.
I mean, I don't know if it's considered in the same universe or not. We don't think we ever really found out.
I don't technically think so, but
yeah,
yes.
I don't think so either, right? Yeah.
It's just Matt Ryan.
It's just Matt Ryan, right?
So, I don't even know. Like, I feel like I'm missing a bunch. The Superman.
Oh, you're missing a lot.
Several.
You're missing seven.
Like six. Yeah. Which is pretty
John,
well. I got Superman.
Do you have any?
What about Swamp Thing? Swamp Thing wasn't that.
No, Swamp Thing also was not
wait,
CW.
I'm sorry, so you said Legends,
oh, Supergirl.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, Legends, Arrow, Supergirl,
Flash.
What's the Flash? Yeah. And then Batgirl.
Batwoman. Oh yeah.
Batwoman.
Yeah, please. Batwoman.
Yeah. Black Lightning.
Yep.
Oh, right.
And we're including Superman and Lois.
You did include Superman and Lois. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So that's seven there. We just got to get three more out of this.
There's like a an animated one with that Sparky guy. He was in he was in a crisis at one of those. He's a gay dude and he shoots lightning. I think not black guy. Another guy.
I don't know.
Okay, it was animated. Maybe
yeah, there were some animated ones. Right? I'm not counting animated. Oh, okay. Or at least this number does not count animated series. This is just live action.
Okay. Are you counting DC some weird spin-off thing like Crisis being its own thing because it had an episode?
Nope.
Okay.
There are literally three more shows.
So this is CW. So Doom Patrol. Yes. Not in there.
No. Yeah. Nope. That was on HBO.
That was on HBO.
Okay.
As I believe was Swamp Thing. Right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
On
Swamp
HBO
Thing too. Right?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Are we going to feel dumb?
One of these we covered. There's only of the last three, only one of them did we cover, and then there's two that I will totally excuse you from remembering.
Are you talking about that one that
Stargirl?
Stargirl. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're up to eight. I don't expect you to get either of the last two because I think they both started kind of on the downhill side of the roller coaster after stuff had really peaked.
And did they just get one season each or like
I
a few
think
episodes
so,
each?
Yes. I think they each got one season.
The Chilling Adventures of Mr. Freeze. No.
They were so chilling.
That wasn't one.
No. I will excuse you for not remembering the show Naomi, which was the one that Ava DuVernay worked on.
Yeah.
Not
I watched the
do
first
well
episode
at all.
Of that and didn't enjoy it.
Was it that
as I recall?
Was that the same? I don't know anything about that. I thought that was about like a half animal human kind of thing. Is that am I going
nope.
crazy?
No, okay. No, that's different. Nope. I mean, that's
it's like a it's about like a young woman who loves comic books and discovers she has superpowers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a rare mystery.
The big
Ava
draw
DuVernay,
was that it was. Sure. It was Ava DuVernay, yeah, but it still didn't do very well, and so got axed after 13.
It
had one season of 13 episodes.
Wow.
The other one, which I believe also got canceled after one season and was definitely not a thing we watched, was Gotham Knights, which was a super short-lived. Also at canceled after one season, which was about somebody murders Batman, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I don't even know. Yeah, right. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. In the wake of Bruce Wayne's death, his adopted son.
I don't feel bad about
unlikely,
not getting those two.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I should have gotten Stargirl more easily, but
that it still had a slightly. It didn't feel of a type, right? Of like the kind of CW shows that we watched.
Yeah.
It was like kind of a different production quality. It just. Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to take a ballpark run at combined number of seasons?
Oh my god.
Okay, well, there's what, 21 plus, I don't know, let's say 28 seasons. That does not make sense, but no, I'm going to say it anyway. There's way more than that. There's like 36.
As a subset, which show ran the longest, the most number of seasons?
Flash. It got to
Flash.
Nine.
Flash? Oh, it was the Flash.
Ran
Flash,
nine seasons. Oh my gosh. combined number of seasons of all 10 series.
Run, Barry, run, and run.
46 series seasons.
I was going to say 50.
Yeah, all right. Wow. Pretty good. Combined episode total?
Oh my gosh.
This
50 times 20.
I can't do that math. I can't.
50 times 20.
I should be able to do that math, but I...
Yeah. That's 100. Nope, 1,000. Let's say 1,000.
100 episodes from 10 shows. They each got 10 episodes.
Well, say it's 50 times. I mean, it's not 50 times 20. It's probably 50 times 15 or something like that.
Yeah, because the average, right?
Because the average, yeah. I mean, some of them didn't have like long.
Yeah, runs. I knocked it down from 26 to 20 for the sake of head math. But sure, yeah, you're probably better with 15.
So what
so 500 plus 250 makes 750 hours.
750
episodes. You're pretty close. 817.
Okay,
not bad. Not bad. And it really came down to we ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, I picked
number
15
of episodes.
It was,
because it
was just like an easy number to pick.
Yeah, and I'd pick 20, so split the difference. Whatever. I feel pretty good. I feel like
we won that. We won that.
You know why? Because it was just math. That's why. And we still kind of fudged it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That was it is the fourth most episodes in a multi-show franchise since 1990. Oh, if God. You can
this
name
is baseball stats,
any of
man.
The other
Star Trek
since this year. What? Okay, yeah, it's Star Trek's got to be one of them.
Interesting. They do not count Star Trek here.
It may be because it was straight to syndication. Maybe it was a straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I would say these are probably network.
Yeah.
Network shows.
Oh, I mean, okay. MASH is going to be there on account of MASH and then
well,
after
no,
MASH,
since
maybe?
This is since, no, 19, oh, this since is 1990. Modern, since 99. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Come on. You can name. I guarantee you. Nope. There are not 800 episodes of that show. There are a lot.
There are a lot.
Yeah, I guess not.
They only had they only had one spinoff that made it to a full season, I think.
Yeah.
Network shows, so like not streaming.
Yeah.
It's gotta be some TGIF thing, you know? I don't know.
I will give you a hint. All three of these franchises, at least two
Cheers
not
and
a third
Fisher.
Of the franchise are all still running. These are franchises, multi-show franchises.
Like NCIS or something like that.
NCIS is one, JAG.
Yeah.
Law and Order.
Law and Order is Law another. Order. There are 1,363 episodes of Law and Order as of this article publication.
Okay.
JAG / NCIS has 1,249.
Not my thing, but respect.
The last one is CSI at 838.
Oh, yeah, okay. I confused those two.
NBC's.
Yeah, me too.
That's NBC's. They're basically the. Yeah.
The
NBC's
Dick Wolf
Chicago Dan. Franchise will need to air 131 more episodes, which is about 622 episode seasons worth of shows, in order to pass DC to get the third spot.
Yeah. Some of our people have gone to the Chicago shows. I forget who. I mean, some of the people.
That's true.
Things that we've covered.
Colin Donnell was on
yeah,
for a
exactly.
while.
Yeah,
okay.
Malcolm's kid.
Was Ward? Yep. From
Brett.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, Brett.
He Dalton? Definitely feels like he would fit in a doctor's jacket.
Might some other
one of those too, yeah. work thing. But I can't remember. But anyway, a bunch of them have.
I'm not going to make you answer this because I think you were pretty close to me. Yes, the number of episodes of the core Arrowverse series, which is Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends, Black Lightning, and Batwoman. I feel bad they didn't get themselves one more. 699.
Oh.
Nice.
Couldn't crack that 700. Mm. How many multi-series crossover events?
Oh, geez. Wow.
So there's Crisis.
Yep.
There's
eight?
Other Crisis.
I'm going to guess.
Good guess.
Eight.
No,
a little high.
Too high, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's like four or five.
I guess it depends on how you count it, right? I mean, like,
yes.
I mean, I guess it's an event as opposed to Barry shows up on Arrow.
Right. They said several other cross. So they count six.
Really? Okay.
And they
I'm counting the big ones that like once a year they have an actual
to a single show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they'd have like special title cards and everything for, you know, Crisis or I can't even remember the other ones.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. There was, what was the other one? Like, there was Earth X or whatever.
Yeah. 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 That was kind of fun.
Yep. That was kind of fun.
Back when the Nazis were the bad guys. Those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legends would be a fun one to go back and watch too.
Yes,
that too. After season one.
And then finally, years and days that the CW had a DC series on its roster, dating from the premiere of Arrow to the ending of Superman and Lois. How long did it stretch that time?
12 years?
Yeah, we've been doing 12 this.
12 years is correct.
Wow.
Nice.
12 years and 53 days.
Man, jeez.
Well, that dude nailed it. Holy cow.
Yeah, we didn't start till season three, I believe.
Yeah. Season two of Arrow. Yeah.
We started out when it started going downhill.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Those two things are coincidence, I'll say.
Right. I know. That's how I do most things. I think I'll get into online writing about technology. I think I'll get into podcasting.
Once you get into something, it's already been capitalized on, right? It's too late. It's like driving your car off the lot.
Mm-hmm.
It loses half its value.
Yep.
So, given that, I wanted to just quickly discuss, do you have any, what would you call that as your high points in the Arrowverse from, you know, your time watching it? Do you have anything that comes to mind in terms of what did you think it did well or what did you think it really
talking,
like? Where
talking
did it
to
succeed?
You guys is kind of
we're kind the biggest legacy. High point we're still going. Yeah. The Arrowverse is dead and we are still going.
I really liked.
We buried it.
I really liked Arrow season one. I think I used to prefer Arrow season two, but having gone back and watched season one, I think it's tight. I think it's well made. I think it's got a good through line. And I like the conclusion. I just think it's a really, really tight season of TV, and I would still recommend it to people. I would say, you know, maybe stop after one or two. I don't think you need to go through the full slog. But yeah, season one of Arrow is terrific.
I think more of moments, I guess, as opposed to events, because I can never remember, like, was Crisis, the first Crisis thing, good? You know, but like Sarah and Ava getting stuck in the IKEA.
That's a terrific episode.
It's such a good episode. The summer camp episode, also fantastic. I always think of this moment for some reason. I just think it's a great bit of acting by both of the people in this scene. It's when Oliver really finds out that his mother knows that he's Green Arrow.
Season one.
Love that. Yeah. I love that bit. No, it's
season two.
Later. Season two.
Yeah.
Season two. Yeah. Because then she immediately gets murdered.
She gets murdered. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's just a great moment. And like, you know, he's done some questionable things in his personal life since then. Like, he's had a lot of like outbursts in public and stuff like that. But he really shines in that moment. And he shines in like a lot of different bits of that show, I think, in particular.
I mean, he anchored that show successfully for 8 seasons. I mean, you got to be doing something right, I think, in order to
get that. Also, it was great to see Brandon Routh in the Superman costume again.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a high just point. Like, you know, I mean, that was obviously fan service, but it was delightful fan service. And
one of my favorite Supermans. Whatever. I don't want to stack rank them, but maybe the second
favorite. Yeah, no, I mean, I think they've... We've had a pretty good run of Supers men's, right?
Men's,
I mean,
super?
I think they've all been quite good. I never watched Smallville, but
he's fine.
Other than that,
you know, it's a different vibe.
Oh, and then maybe the Lois and Clark. I obviously didn't watch that either.
Dean Cain. I liked that show at the time when it aired, but I also don't, I mean, Dean Cain is not a great person, so.
Right.
But I remember I watched that with my mom. Like, my mom and I used to watch that show when I was like a teenager or whatever, whenever it aired. And I liked it a lot that time.
I don't know if I could have watched Terry Hatcher with my mom in the room. I don't think that would. Do you remember like when that was like the most downloaded photo of the internet? There's nothing scandalous. Yeah,
that line from Deadpool.
I mean, nothing scandalous by today.
Deadpool and Wolverine. About how many bones there are in the body.
Yeah. It's a great line. But yeah, no, like the photo I'm talking about is like, it's not salacious. It's just Terry Hatcher wrapped in the Superman cape that was on the cover of, I don't know, People Magazine or something. It was like,
it was like the first image that broke
the internet kind of thing. Like, you know, everybody with a modem was downloading that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think a lot of the things that come to mind are early Arrow, Legends. Maybe even the
Late
first
Legends,
season of
though.
The Flash.
Yeah, yeah, the first season of the Flash, first is, season of Flash is pretty good. I mean, the ending is not amazing, but it's a solid good season. Yeah. I mean, there's a good tension there between, you know, and figuring out.
Tom Cavanaugh as Harrison Wells is really fun. that scene where he first gets out of the wheelchair.
Yeah,
I remember that blowing my mind. Like. Yeah. And I think they really captured, especially in the earliest seasons when they feel a little bit more low budget and they're doing a little bit more on a shoestring. I think they there's something that really works about those early seasons of some of the shows that you lose when it gets a little too comic booky until you get to Legends where it like leans fully into it and goes all the way around.
I
agree.
Still terrible. Legends didn't get a good ending, but
yeah,
it really is. Yeah,
that's a low point
they deserved at least like a movie or something to wrap it up.
Yep.
I guess my theory on these shows is that they start strong and then fizzle out, sort of the opposite of a typical Star Trek. That'll like the first season they'll be trying to find their feet, and then it'll sort of learn to be what it wants to be, kind of thing.
Yeah, probably
these shows
most
I think
of them, other than Legends.
Yeah, Legends is the exact opposite. Like it, right. I think it tried to be what it was going to be and then failed so badly that they kind of did a Hail Mary. They're like, what if we just didn't take ourselves seriously? And well, it works so well.
Lucky that they got renewed, you know, like they got the chance to do that.
Exactly. Well, and that's a fascinating bit about the overall season, because I think just to your point about them fizzling out, there was a feeling like early on in this, when they started greenlighting all the shows, that it's like, look, these things can go on forever, right? These are money printing machines that we are just going to keep making and making and making. And I think that hurt the storytelling, right? Yeah. I think the Legends, because it was in the risk of being sort of the first one that got canceled, I think they had to like, hey, look, we think there's still something to be gotten out of this, but you guys got to bring up the game. And then I would add, honestly, I know you guys haven't watched it, but I would add Superman Lois, which I think actually maintains a pretty solid quality all the way through. Well, but they got the virtue of it's only four seasons. And
I've said this repeatedly. It's a really good show that I just don't watch. I mean,
I keep dipping in.
Like, I mean, and I don't. And again, I don't know why. I think, like I've said, I think it's the high school part of it is
there's
just
much,
not like I don't
much less
I don't
of
care
that in,
about
in
that.
The later seasons.
Yeah, and honestly, so I'm thinking I'm going to watch the last season. I might just skip to it, you know.
Yeah, I would say the last, both three and four are pretty good. Three deals a lot with like Lois and Clark's relationship with each other, which I think is really nice. Like it is adult in the way it treats them. It treats them as adults, as opposed to, I think, a lot of the leads in other shows, even though they were nominally adults, the drama between the characters felt very high school, right? Yeah. Like if you had Barry and Iris or Oliver
Felicity
and Oliver. Like. Yeah. That drama felt very melodramatic.
Yep.
Whereas I think the stuff with Lois and Clark is very grounded and very mature in terms of the, like,
that's good.
Adult, like grown up, right? Like it's like a grown up relationship that these people are navigating. I think that does that show a lot of credit.
That's good. I like the relationship between Ollie and Felicity is one of those kind of foundational things in the CU-verse, whatever you want to call it, the Arrowverse. In that, like, I think every show after that kind of felt it needed one of those core romances, but it was discovered almost by accident in Arrow season one. I mean, you've got two good looking people,
right.
But they had such good flirty chemistry that she became I think she started as a day player, which is somebody you hire for one day and then graduated to being a season regular because the bosses liked her and they liked the charm, and it certainly cut through the I am the knight, I am justice kind of vibe of some of that early Arrow by just giving him a little, you know, giving him a reason to smile and have a little bit of fun. And that worked really well. Going into season two, now they kind of have to make a deal out of it. And then you've got, what, six more seasons to be trying.
Will they, won't they? Yeah, are they together? Are they apart?
Know, yeah. And like, not even Sam and Diane is kind of tiresome, but like, they did it more deftly than, you know, the few minutes each episode they get to put aside in a show about superheroes. And like her dad being a criminal, like it just got like layers upon layers, and it ends up so ill-considered and random.
Nuking a small town.
She nukes a small town like just to give her something to do, which is like, that is like somebody in the writer's room must have been like, we are flat out of ideas. What are we going
to
do?
It would be fun to go back and just get all the bananas stuff that happened in that show and like put it in
just a recount it,
put it in
it's like
spreadsheet.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think what's also interesting about the dynamic as it changed over time is we went from those early shows to shows like that had like 20 plus, even towards the end, like. They were doing, I think, you know, until the last couple seasons, they were all doing 20 plus episode seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
And then a lot of these shows benefited, like both Legends and Superman and Lois benefited from having much shorter, either Stargirl there in two, like the production values as well there. Like, they did like 10 to 13 episode seasons, didn't feel like they were dragging on. And like a lot of that was the industry and the world was changing as those things were on to become shorter episode counts. But I think that generally helped, you know, the storytelling quality of a lot of those shows by reducing them down to a few, you know, a dozen episodes as opposed to 22 or something.
Yeah, there's been a few techniques like that too. I know this is outside of the bounds of this discussion, but S.H.I.E.L.D. bifurcating their seasons was smart. You get 13 and
Flash tried that towards the end, but I think it, you know, by that point they were so deep into it, it was really hard to dig themselves out.
Yeah. And they did the other thing where, I'm going to remember the, or I'm going to forget the name of the character and even the show. So Dan, you're going to have a very hard time helping me out here. It's when you introduce a new kid into a family on a sitcom in order to, it's like not quite Jump the Shark, but it's like you introduce the new baby.
DiCaprio on Growing Pains or.
Was he on that?
Cousin whatever on the Brady Bunch.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. Yeah. The other reason I knew Dan wouldn't be able to figure it out is that it's too old. Like
I watched it. I know which it was. Oliver, cousin Oliver.
Cousin Oliver, yeah.
Did watch a little bit of that, but all in syndication, obviously.
Yeah. Anyway, like that. So I think Supergirl and Flash certainly fell victim to that, right? They just kept introducing a new superpowered person.
Yes.
Kind of mix it all up. Yeah. You get an ensemble annoying, cast.
Honestly, you know, and I think that really ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
It cheapens some stuff. I agree.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just want to be clear that Supergirl picked that they had a transgender character. They expanded their diversity, and that's good. I'm not knocking that any one of these characters is bad.
Right.
I just think you
they overloaded the shows.
You don't keep adding bitch characters to Star Trek. You know, like you get Ro, who shows up every now and then, and also she's Ensign Ro, so she's awesome. But
there was more turnover too, I think, in the casts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of that is them working to like, all right, we're gonna have the cast turnover, like, you know, we need to come up with a new character who fills that gap in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's tricky. I mean, I think Supergirl's first season, which is a reminder, Supergirl's first season aired on CBS, not the CW.
Oh right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because it was gonna be the Big Shot show. And then it didn't work.
And then it got kicked down to the rest with the rest of them. And I think in some ways it, you know, had to do stuff from a network that it couldn't necessarily do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it did benefit from that, from like integrating with the rest of the team. Like I think it lasted long. If it had stayed at CBS, it would have eked out one more season, maybe. Yeah. You know, maybe. Yeah.
Yep. Any other favorite characters or performances amongst the shows?
Let's give a biff to Ollie.
You gotta talk about one, right?
Which one?
Okay.
Well, I have the page for Legends open right now.
Yeah. So Abbott and Costello.
I'm looking right at Katie Lotz.
Guy's got that covered, honestly.
I forgot how effusive I am about my admiration for her. Do you know what? Yeah. I really like the character.
Well, you got married,
I think she's great.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I'm still allowed to appreciate Katie Lotz, a TV personality. Katie Lotz. I like Sarah.
Someone who was not even the original, you know, didn't even play the character originally, but and then stepped in and became a really strong part of Arrow.
Yeah. Yes.
And one of my favorite bits in that middle section of the show, I guess, and then went on to become the captain of the, you know, like work her way up to be the captain of the Wave Rider and hold that show together completely. And in a way that, you know, she's like this assassin who died and came back to life and had like all these demons possessing her basically. And then went to work in a comedy.
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like they did her dirty with that whole season 4, I guess, whatever. The Rishal Ghul stuff messed up a lot of Arrow stuff. But I do think that, like, Katie Lotz, his character, at least carries the torch of the more realistic relationships we see in any of these shows. I really like, getting back to the IKEA thing, I really like her relationship on Legends. And I think her relationship with Ollie makes some kind of sense, right? Like, she's a party girl, she goes on a boat with him, she dies, basically. Comes back and then starts, still has attraction for him, but like, the way that that little love triangle between her and her sister and Ollie is handled, I think it's actually one of the better written, complex emotional beats that the show tries for. And I think she managed to pull it off, especially once we get to Legends, where I really, really admire her. yeah, I guess I admire her relationship with Ava. I think it's a good, healthy relationship at the end of the day. Yeah. So, it's nice to see that, you know, she's a bisexual character, and it's really nice to see just the normalcy of them bickering about the IKEA furniture or anything like that. It's not played for, like, they're both beautiful, sexy women, but it's not played for salaciousness as much as just this is a regular relationship, and I appreciate the show for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
A couple I thought of, Wentworth Miller as Captain Cold.
Yeah. He's always great though. He's kind of hard to beat. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but he manages to deliver a good character arc in that first season of Legends, where he goes from being a
when there's nothing else of note going on.
When there's nothing else going on, really. Yeah. He's one of the high points of that, right? And like, and then we get his, like, you know, good version pop in every once in a while, which is a little fun. So I think he does some solid work there. Matt Ryan, who we mentioned.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty great Constantine. I really enjoyed his progression.
Me too.
Through all the various seasons. I thought he did. That was nice that they were able to rescue him from NBC and have him become a regular. I thought he was a very fun staple.
Yeah. I think if you can't get Keanu Reeves, he's a great second choice. In fact, I may even prefer him to Keanu Reeves. I think
he's a better Constantine than Keanu Reeves.
I think so. Well, I just know Keanu
he's
Reeves.
He's closer to the character. He's closer to the actual comic character.
Yeah, I think so at times. And sometimes they write him goofier than I think the comics would. But it makes him fit into Legends better, which is, you know, we get to see him. That's worth it to me. I don't know what I'm saying there. Like, I think the character in the individual show is overly dark and morose and too much. I think his performance is great, but, like, you know, lighten up a little, John, and come hang out with these goofballs, and it's way more palatable.
I also wanted to call out, this is a character who I, you know, a show I think neither of you really watch much, but that I enjoy, that I see the actress sometimes pop up in other things and think to myself, I have trouble not seeing her as her Erebus character, which is Rachel Skarsgård played Alice on Batwoman. And
she was so good at being unhinged
on that show recently was flipping through Netflix and she was in a Christmas movie. And I was like, I am terrified.
So that's a perfect,
I think she,
like,
did a really nice job with that.
The Christmas movies have got that perfect saccharineness that could go, like, if you don't know it's a Christmas movie, it could
go wrong.
Horror, like, real easy. Yeah. I guess my last, I want to throw in a pick here
because
I don't think anybody else is going to pick it. David Ramsey.
I was about to say David Ramsey.
Yeah. He's funny. Gonna,
but, like, yes, take it.
They do dumb stuff with his character, but, like all of these shows, they end up doing dumb stuff. If you go back and watch Arrow Season 1, he's really, really funny. Like, he shows up as the bodyguard, and I think the very first thing Ollie does is slip out the back of the car. Right. And then the next time Ollie tries it, he's child-locked it all. It's just so... Yes. Like, his humor, it's like Kato to... the Green Hornet kind of thing, or Clouseau, either one, pick one. It's like the competent sort of, like, butler, driver kind of guy, bodyguard guy, versus a superhero kind of guy. And he's really good at what he does, so he cottons on pretty much immediately that something is up with Ollie. I love it. I think his portrayal is wonderful. I think he's a lot of fun. I think he added both some weight and grounding to the show, where he can just, you know, sit down with Ollie and be like, look, you're being an idiot, and a little bit of levity in the sort of the dry humor kind of thing that Worf would do that on TNG too, right? Like, I know I keep doing that, but, like, that dry, like, why don't we just do the most simple possible thing and everybody tells him to shut up. I feel like David Ramsey does a bit of that role on Arrow, which is like, why don't we just do the obvious thing, and then there's some convoluted reason about the rules
of the League of Legends. We gotta rob a truck.
Yeah, that's it. We gotta rob a truck.
I was gonna say, my two things about David Ramsey are, one, I'm glad he stuck around much longer, I think, than a lot of other. He popped up on towards the end of Superman and Lois. I think it's season 3 or so he pops up.
I wanted them on that HBO Latin show. I really did.
That's the other thing I was gonna say, is they did him dirty. That was the thing that made me the maddest, is that they did him dirty with that whole Green Lantern plot line that turned out to be a giant fizzle. And I'm still angry about that, because I felt like either that plot line should just not have existed. It felt like they started to go down that path and were told they could not, and then had to unwind it in a really weird way that made no sense. And ended up being nothing. And it was so, I, like, you know what, at that point, who cares? Like, let him be the Green Lantern. he's not going to get a show anyways. Like,
yeah,
you know,
just have him. Yeah, have him.
Yeah,
find
just
a
let
ring.
Him get a moment to do it. He did find a ring.
Well, he found something.
Ring. No, I know. Yeah. So annoying. Yeah. So annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway,
because I mean, Green Lantern and Green Arrow are a classic combo. They had some real hits in the 70s, kind of thing. Well, real hits. That sounds like they're. Like, them and Led Zeppelin just pounding out the hits, you know.
Green Lantern and Green Laro. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys, exactly. That's right. That was when Speedy was doing Halloween and stuff. There was interesting social justice stories told with those two at that time that could have been a worthwhile attempt to make the Arrowverse or Arrow specifically into something else, but you know, rather than just whatever it ended up being, some kind of convoluted mess. I think you could have had a new structure based on that, but they, you know, it was too late by the end. I do think that he's probably a better actor than we know, based on the fact that like he keeps being given goofy stuff to do. But I enjoy watching him, and I'd like to see him in more stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Two more.
Go go.
Jesse L. Martin.
Well, he's great, a pro. Man. Yeah. He's a pro.
Yeah. And then Paul Blackthorne is so
good. You know what? I almost don't count him because he's like Moira, whose name I'm forgetting.
Susanna Thompson.
Right? Like so good that it's like you're in a different league.
Like, you know, like I said, my favorite scene from that show, really. And shout out to the Star City Police Department. They really they had a hard time in that show.
Without them, where would we be?
Many of Quentin's friends got murdered.
If you're in the Star City Police Department, do not go out the back door.
Yeah, you'd think right behind the police department would be relatively safe. Not at all.
That alley is bad news.
It's just Murder Alley every single time.
Why did we put the police department here on Murder Alley? It's where we could put it.
The funny thing is, we put the police department here because that's Murder Alley. We thought it would fix it. No, we just...
Yeah.
The opposite happened. That show has a lot of good fun in it. I know we make fun of it all the time, but like, there's something about it that's got a good
hook.
It's
so up and down. It got wacky. I mean, the whole universe kind of got wacky there. Yeah. Towards the, you know, that meaty part.
But I still like that doctor.
So many shows on.
I still like that doctor that they go visit. I like Murder Alley, the fact that they keep shooting it in this one alley in Vancouver. There's so much fun stuff about that show that it's like, yeah, even the tropes where they get together and they have like a little meeting, like the book club, at where they discuss how they failed at the beginning of the third act and then rally and then figure out how to defeat Monster of the Week or whatever at the end of it, come together. Usually.
It became its own format.
It did. Right? And all of the other shows adopted it, right?
Yes, correct. And I think that is the fascinating thing to me is like, it is kind of, I would say almost Star Trekian in that way.
It's formula.
In which it had its own formula. And and I mean, you know, given that the source material was itself comic books, which has its own formula as well, I think that was kind of apropos, I suppose. Yes. And we've talked about that a bunch with the MCU too, like having its own kind of formula and how it constructs
how style.
Things. And I think that's true of a lot of franchises in general.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't Supernatural did it. Like not quite to the same beats, but similar kind of thing. You know, set up the problem, find it. Like it's kind of screenwriting 101, right? Like
yep, absolutely.
Set it up, da da da, and then the third act you get a little lull or you have to overcome an unexpected hurdle and then either victory or not, depending on what your plan is for next week. But they started doing it well enough, I think, and they got a rhythm that it helped other writer rooms find their rhythm. And off of that sort of like cycle is where you would hang your character development. I just don't think that they did a lot of character development that I cared about because it felt like they were treading water on that aspect.
There's a lot of straight up drama. Conflict that's just there for the sake of drama and conflict.
And we gotta mention Neil McDonough.
He was on my list too. I was gonna ask about favorite villains.
Yeah.
One of my
favorite villains is Vandal Savage when he comes back in.
And you were gonna say this.
Yeah. Yeah.
One scene.
That's the one scene, but it works so well.
I would say Neil McDonough. Manu Bennett.
Manu Bennett's great.
despite his personal travails, John Barrowman, I think, as Malcolm is fun.
He have personal travails?
Yeah, he's
got Madonna type,
he's got some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. I don't want to know. Season one is great. I like him a lot. He's terrifying. Yeah. He's like a friendly old dad kind of. He's got that real Norman Osborn Green Goblin thing happening.
Yes.
And it works. It works really well. Then they keep bringing him back because he's such a charismatic character that they keep going back to that well. And the character works at times and doesn't work at others and blah, blah, blah. But season one, great, terrifying. The whole setup and Earthquake Machine thing, terrific. Just broadly, one of the better villains, I think, of any of these shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I would say he's, they're all up there. I think, looking back, I feel like, and maybe biased because we covered Arrow so much longer, but I think that it had some of the best villains of all the Arrowverse shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of some of the other ones that I liked. I mean,
Biff, Anatoly, name it. They're all pretty great.
Brick. Anatoly's
not really a villain.
Well, yeah, depending on the day.
What do you mean? He encourages our guy to skin a man alive. So,
he's a frenemy. He's a frenemy.
Sure. Yeah. But he's great. I love the performance. I love the guy. And Biff, the thing our TV show is, our podcast is named after, this TV character, Biff, who, not a great villain in a very dull season, but really just a strong performance and the hardest working henchman on television. Like, he's the kind of guy, he's just always right every single time, and he just never gets listened to, and he gets killed twice. That's how deserving that guy is. I can't really think of any villains that I cared about from Flash. Flash had Tony Todd, so Tom Cavanaugh is good.
Tom Cavanaugh's reverse Flash in that first season is pretty terrifying.
Yeah, he is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think he does a nice job with that.
Yeah.
Tony Todd,
the rest
who
of the seasons
are David Departed.
Yeah, Tony Todd's good.
Kern, but the character was just nothing. You know, his performance is intimidating as always. He's going to, turn in a good show. But, I just didn't care about any of those characters.
I had to think about which of the bad speedsters he was.
I don't even know. I don't know.
I think he was Zoom.
Zoom. He was Zoom.
I think he voiced Zoom. Yeah.
It's just so much.
Which is not a scary name either. It's the thing we use every week to record this. I mean, it's not great. I was thinking of some of the other ones I liked, like late season Legends. I kind of liked Bishop. He was wacky and weird. And I saw that actor pop up in some other stuff afterwards. He was kind of fun.
Took me a minute to remember who that was.
Yeah, I know. There aren't a lot of other ones that I feel like are super memorable, in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what I was sort of struggling trying to remember, like, which other storylines. I will say, and I know you guys haven't watched it, but Michael Cudlitz as Lex Luthor in the final season of Superman and Lois. He's pretty good. He is imposing and menacing in a fun and different way for Lex, which is that's a character that is very obviously has a lot of history and a lot of story behind him in various incarnations, and I like that he kind of took it and made it a different thing. But yeah, I think a lot of our hero characters are certainly tops. But
Sportsmaster, come on,
yeah,
so great. I mean, absolutely delightful in that.
He was
show.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was really good. I think that's probably the highlight of that show for me. Also, the fact that
I liked
just
the third season of that show. I know you didn't watch it, but I liked the third season of that show. I thought it was weird and had some good stuff in it.
I just really liked it. Like, the whole time we were watching Arrow, I was pulling for Quentin Lance to become the Question, and John just kept sticking with Sportsmaster. I really thought, like, in terms of betting, I would have bet hard on the Question rather than Sportsmaster. But no, we got a Sportsmaster.
There's,
and not just a
time.
Sportsmaster, a pretty great Sportsmaster.
Really like definitive a, Sportsmaster, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was gonna say there's still time for the Prestige Question Detective series on HBO or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it could happen.
I mean, that would be a good show.
Yeah,
that would be a great show.
Yeah, it would be a good show. Honestly.
I just thought Paul Blackthorne would be a great Question, and the character arc in the first couple of seasons of Arrow I could see it getting there. Right, like, I hate vigilantes. Which, okay, sorry about the news recently, but bad. His notion that I'm going to go after vigilantes and then sort of sees Ollie save the city, blah, 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 and he becomes a detective-style vigilante, not a beat-em-up one, but like a guy that goes above and beyond the law to like break into houses and do some detecting and having a detective few episodes or even a show, I think would have been a wonderful addition to the CW. But I don't know. We had to get who lost their memory or was reborn. Oh, Thea. Thea had to, you know, go through whatever struggle she had to go through. Like, I think they just dropped, they missed an opportunity with that one. But also, I don't think I am the target audience for those shows because I don't think
Blackthorne's going to
put
any,
you know, teenage girls in seats to watch him thumb through a telephone book and mumble to himself.
I was flipping through to see what other shows he might have popped up in recently, and the answer is not very much. He's been in like two shows in 2023, like two episodes, and that's about it.
He was in one of them. He played a character on a Star Wars game.
He was in Star Wars Battlefront 2. He did a voice, but that's back in 2017.
Oh wow.
The one I'm laughing at is there is one he's credited in an episode, I think, of a show called The Company You Keep, which was Milo Ventimiglia, who was in our pal from Gotham, or who was the serial killer at the end of first season of Gotham, who gets Barbara to like embrace her serial killer self. What I love about this is I've just flipped through the Wikipedia page and it's one of those shows where it's like there's a recap, a detailed recap of the first two episodes and then no more recaps. And you can kind of tell it's like not even the people doing Wikipedia recaps like this show, they just gave up.
Well,
it got canceled after one season. Paul Blackthorne, a good choice. We should probably start wrapping up. Is there anything else you want to add at the end about the Arrowverse? Any other thoughts?
Just a salute to the Arrowverse. You know,
like, a salute.
You saved this city.
I mean, you know, I think
it built a city.
I would say
it built a city for many years.
They built a city.
12 years. It built this city.
On rock and roll.
Yeah.
But like, I think to Guy's point, they ran for a long time. They started in the shadow of the MCU and managed to carve out a niche for themselves.
Yeah.
That was very successful for the time. You know, and I think there are probably kids who, you know, young people who grew up watching those shows feeling like, oh my God, these shows were on forever. And I think for us is on the other end of that spectrum, feeling like they were there for a while, but also like, you know, I think in my head, I figured those things would go on for like 20 years. We'd still be watching Arrowverse episodes. So I'm kind of, you know, bittersweet ending. I'm glad that they can move on to a new chapter. And you know, obviously the DC universe is getting rebooted under the tutelage of James Gunn. So I'm kind of curious to see what that brings. But I think it's worth recognizing the Arrowverse for what they did, which was, you know, really making superheroes on TV a thing.
Yeah.
Nobody else, like, there were attempts, right? You know, there was Smallville, there was Lois and Clark, there was the John Wesley Shipp Flash, and kudos to him. He shows up in a bunch of Flash episodes and stuff. But, like, they turned it into like a thing that was in its own corner of the TV, basically, you know, like their MCU. And I think that's remarkably impressive.
I agree.
And, you know, it had its ups and downs, but I think in the end it did have a good legacy. And I think you guys said, let us do this show and we're still doing this show.
Exactly. Yeah. I do think that the downs basically place it in the long tail with an audience that would stick with it in order to get their soap opera turnover each week, which is fine. You know, like you make a couple of good seasons and then you sort of like find your audience and stick with it. And I think a lot of those, maybe even all of these shows did that, and they voted out for a good, I don't know, let's say 5 years in the end. that's nothing to sneeze at, right? Like, it's giving people some entertainment that they enjoy. People are employed and having fun. They're not taking anything away from anybody. They're certainly not giving evil messages to the world. It's all pretty much, you know, come by kind of stuff at the end of the day. So yeah, good on them. Great run. I enjoyed some of it a lot, and I mostly enjoyed that it exists. I think that's happy. I think it's a fun contribution, even though it's not all great.
I mean, it wasn't all great, but not all of Star Trek is great either. And
yeah,
what?
Yeah,
that's first time
surprise.
Yeah, I got bad news about Star Wars too.
Yeah. Oh boy,
people seem to get very bent out of that one. But yeah,
yeah.
Skeleton Crew is terrific, by the way. Like, just I want to be clear, I'm not making fun of that.
Skeleton Crew is really good. I was gonna say, I'm fascinated to see, as I've seen more and more in the last couple of years. I just was reading this morning about them working on a Scrubs revival, and I thought about how all the shows I watched in like the mid 2000s are now getting like revivals and reboots. So I feel like it's probably like, here, I'm going to leave this with you. This is our last question for you. What is your, who's your pick for who you want to show up someday in some future DC property as like a cameo or something? Like, is there a person you want to see reprise a character that, like, even if they only are there for like a, you know, a minute of the screen or something, that you'd be like, oh, that's a nice callback to the, cause I feel like it's going to happen at some point. Hmm.
I mean, I, you know, like I said, I would love to see the Legends again. That would probably be top of my list because they're the ones I think that I have the fondest feelings for and feel like they got short shrift at the end. Although I not crazy about the Flash movie. And obviously the actor has some problems, but I enjoyed their visit to the Arrowverse. That was a nice little crossover. So, I mean, maybe Barry.
Yeah, that was one of my picks. I actually think Grant Gustin would be fun to see him pop up at some point. I liked him. I liked him a lot more as an actor in that role than I liked that show.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He did a lot of heavy lifting on that, and they asked him to do stuff that I think was not great for the show, but I think he, especially in that first season, he does a nice job as Barry Allen, and I would be happy to see him show up at some point. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, my answer has to be Sarah Ladd's.
Yeah.
You know, I think canonically, show...
Which is unfortunately not someone who's going to
be... It's not going to make any... It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It's a dumb idea. Yeah. But I have to say that. I do think for the show, Biff Conklin showing up in Anywhere. I think that's what our show needs to agree on. But I guess my real answer is Stephen Amell, you know, for as sort of intense and sometimes as entitled as he comes across at times. You know, he forged this entire little universe by being the lead on a show that was probably really hard to be a lead on in the first few seasons and setting the tone. And you know, he's a recognizable face. Show up as a Green Arrow in the background or something. I'd be happy, and I think that'd be fun.
I'm going to throw Ragman out there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He showed up at the end of that last season Arrow, right?
Yeah.
They finally put a bow on it.
Right now, I will glad say. To see him again. Like, I kind of like that character pretty well.
Yeah,
I did, effect, too. You know, I love the, like, the crazy rags wrapping around people.
Yeah,
but he was good. The actor was good. I liked.
Yeah.
I liked.
Yeah. I did have fun. Like, it was a little funny how they were like, "Okay, we get it. You're Jewish." Like, they were. They, not that that's God. Now I'm going to sound like Seinfeld. It felt way over the top the way that they were really doubling down on his faith.
It felt very much like the people I knew in college who had never met anybody Jewish before.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember keep cracking, like they keep hanging a menorah on the fact that he's Jewish kind of thing. But like, the thing is, it didn't really factor into the plots. I've got that comic, Ragman number one or something. I think the villain in that one is a golem. Like, it plays with Judaism and the faith in ways that other literature plays with Christian beliefs and all of that, like
Venom and Spider-Man.
Exactly, this was just lips. Yeah, Spider-Man, like Venom has, like, he beats him in a church with a bell, blah blah blah. There's like you're expelling your demons, all of that. Daredevil does it a lot. The Ragman comic book did that with Jewish face, and I thought it was cool and interesting and a take that we don't see very often. The character on Arrow was just like, okay, yeah, we get it. You like matzo ball soup, like. You don't need to make, like, it felt a little forced and lip servicey rather than actually doing it justice.
It was like the gun control.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Always. I was gonna say I think my pick for a characters would be Diggle, because I do think they invented that character for the show. He has since made his way into the comics, I believe. And I think that, you know, David Ramsey is that character, and I would love to see him show up, get a chance to show up in a show where it's totally divorced from, you know, maybe the Arrowverse, but that he's playing a version of that character, I think would be great.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say, I looked on Cameo, and sadly, the actor who plays Biff is not on Cameo, because I was not above paying to have him record something that I could put in the podcast. Oh, gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
I interacted with him on Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter. I remember back in the day. Back before.
He was vaguely polite. Called. He had no idea what I was talking about, because I think, you know, that's not surprising. Right. But yeah.
Well, all right. We're all, I don't know, standing over the Arrow versus grave, pouring out a fifth of whiskey or something. But
we're posing for a picture with her.
What, a fifth of whiskey?
That's right. That's right. We're flashing a peace signs while posing by the Arrowverse grave. That will be the longest lasting part of the Arrowverse, right? Yeah. That meme. Congratulations, everybody.
You did it.
Well, we should wrap up with this week's episode. We'll be back to talk about other stuff in our future episodes. Lots of more stuff coming down the pike. But, you know, we wanted to honor the Arrowverse for its role in creating Biff, and I think we've done that. So I would, of course, encourage you all to send in your letters for a future show. Biff@theincomparable.com is how you reach us via email. @biff@zeppelin.flights is how you reach us on Mastodon. And of course, I would like to thank everybody who's a member of The Incomparable and supports the show by going to theincomparable.com/members. We really appreciate it. If you join, you get all sorts of great stuff, bootleg episodes, premium episodes, access to a member Discord, all that awesome stuff. And I would like to thank my co-hosts, of course, who I've been doing this with for, what did we decide? Like almost a decade, I think.
Sure.
Past a decade? I've now forgotten.
Well, yeah, so it was... Well, if we started in season 3,
2015, I think we decided in February of this year or something is our 10-year. Yeah. Yeah. We'll plan something big.
Yep.
No, we won't. I won't. And so, thank you, John Maltz, for being here for the last 12 years. I appreciate it.
With the Arrowverse dead, are we finally going to change the rating system?
That is a loaded question.
That's a question for another episode.
That's a whole episode.
Oh, okay. I'll just put these papers away. I was about to launch into my PowerPoint.
Guy goes into an hour long.
I had a PowerPoint set up. Fine.
Rating system.
Fine.
No, save it. Just save it. Save
Do you know
it.
What?
We'll get back to it.
I would love to pull out the old trunk, open up that old bottle of Russian vodka and sit around a glass table in the middle of a very expensive Arrow cave and share some stories with you guys. It's been a lot of fun. And Das Vidania, Arrowverse, Bostrovia.
And thank you everybody out there for listening and for enjoying the show. We'll be back next week. See you later.